Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. Obviously, last week we did a version of this podcast, but we were interviewing someone, so we haven't covered news in a while. Thanks so much for everybody, first of all, voting on the poll. We had to test the feature before we talk about some of these new features. But let's first hear from across the ocean. Ben, how are you? How was your week?
I'm good, man. It was a good week, good weekend too. I was trying to climb back to plat on League and I just couldn't get there, unfortunately, but still lots of gaming, which is fun. How about you, man? How you been?
Is that considered a good weekend when you spend your whole weekend trying to achieve a rank in a game and you don't get there? I feel like that's a waste of a weekend.
I mean, still streaming, still gaming, so I don't get a lot of those these days, I feel like, so I still enjoyed it overall. It's not too bad.
That's good to hear, mate. Yeah, I've been okay. Went to a stag do at the weekend, which was good. It's nice that things like that over here in the UK are starting to open up a little bit. I mean, it was still mostly outside, but very good. And I tested my first YouTube short last week. I mean, only about 6 months after they released features to partners, but I thought I'd eventually go for it and learn a lot, actually, even from the experience of releasing one YouTube short. So that reiterates to me that these new features, you shouldn't be scared about trying them out. Try them out. You'll learn from them. But I feel like YouTubers, especially people that have reasonably large audiences, are a bit scared sometimes of testing out. It took me ages to even live stream to this channel because I was still worried about how it would affect things. So anyway, enough about this and our weekends. Thanks to everybody in chat joining in and chatting already and getting the answers to those votes. What do you want to start with? We haven't got much Twitch news, so why don't we start with that little bit of Twitch news that we have from this week?
Yeah, for once. Usually it's like Twitch dominates the entire show. But the big news for Twitch this week is the local sub pricing, which I think we talked about before a couple weeks back. Basically, Twitch is going to be adjusting the price of subs per country based on the standard of living in those countries. And they started with Mexico and Turkey. And now they're rolling out to more regions because apparently it went really, really well in those regions. I think they said they had like 5 times more gifted subs in Turkey and Mexico, which is pretty cool. And it did actually boost creator revenue too, even with the change to the price of it. So they're rolling out to Asia Pacific first. I think they had a list of different countries. So Australia, New Zealand, Taiwan, Korea, Thailand, and Singapore are on the way. But this is pretty cool. It's good to see that the beta regions kind of went well. And I guess I do want to go worldwide with it still. It's not all great news from in terms of some concerns from creators that I've seen. I don't know if you've seen some of that on Twitter lately, Pete, but there's some kind of confusion around where people are from that are subbing right now.
Yeah, I think they need to bring the feature in parity for the streamers side of things. So the streamers actually know where these subs are coming from, because it is, let me get this straight, it is great that we're seeing 5 times increased gifted subs in these countries. Like, that is a good thing for streamers. It's a good thing for the viewers from these countries, because, you know, they're getting to subscribe for the same cost as it would be for an American in terms of the living cost anyway. So it is good, that side of things, but streamers, we don't have any tools right now to be able to see where subs are coming from, and, you know, how much it's going to impact bottom line. Because like we mentioned when this feature first came out, there's like a year handover where Twitch is going to help with the potential revenue loss of some of your subscribers potentially paying less if they were already subscribed to you. But we need to know those kind of things as streamers. So it's good that it's all coming out, but Twitch do need to make sure that they're covering both sides of this, appealing to the audience as well as appealing to the streamers, really, for it to be as useful as it can be.
Yeah, I'm also kind of curious how it impacts revenue long term. I mean, obviously, you know, they said there are 5 times more gifted subs for Turkey, Mexico to start with, but that's also at the start of all this. So I kind of wonder, does that level sustain after this initial like month or two of change? And does it kind of fall back down after that? Like, is there just a lot of hype right now, so people are taking advantage of it? I'm kind of curious to see if the baseline after Twitch's little grace period will stay the same, or people will ultimately lose or gain more subs and revenue as a result of that. So we'll kind of have to see as it rolls out. But Asia Pacific is kind of the next region to get this. And then I guess they're going to roll out to other continents kind of as they go after that, assumedly. So we'll see.
Yeah. Like we said, not actually much Twitch news, which I guess from recent weeks is quite good for Twitch, because it's usually bad news that we're covering. I mean, there is stuff from like 3 weeks ago about streamers being banned, ASMR stuff. But I feel like that is really old news now, and it's more drama than it is big news, I would say. So let's move on to talking about Streamlabs, who have put out a couple of new features, one built into Streamlabs OBS, and then one being a completely separate thing that they're kind of keeping separate. Let's talk about the Grow tab. I don't know if you've actually looked at this in Streamlabs software. You might not even have Streamlabs OBS installed, Ben. You might be that pure of an OBS Studio fanboy that you refuse to put a competitor's software onto your machine.
I mean, I used to use Streamlabs back in the day, but I had to move back to OBS with everything they've added to it. I reinstalled, though, because I tried to find this tab, and I can't see it. Have you tried to see if you can find it yourself?
I did about when it was announced, I did. I went across to it, so I could see it, but I don't know, maybe if my account has been whitelisted or something like that, because I have done videos with Streamlabs in the past. Anyway, let's describe what it's meant to be, if you can see it. It's meant to be kind of a similar to like the reports that you get when you finish streaming from companies like Streamlabs and Stream Elements, where it sort of talks about how long your stream was, how many unique viewers and chatters you had. It's basically going to be a tab within the software where you can measure your performance through the stream and compare it to previous streams as well, so you can hopefully see the growth that you're having, hence the name Grow tab. They actually don't have any screenshots really from within the software here, so it probably would have been better if I'd actually opened the software, but that's too late to do that now. But there's a few things that they've added in, like the ability to add goals for yourself and then track those against metrics. I mean, I would prefer them to just think of all the goals that would make you grow as a streamer, but I guess some people just want to set their own goals and things like that. I'm in two minds as to whether this is actually going to be useful, or if it's just, you know, something that they want to put into their software to say that they can track performance and things like that. Like, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think this is cool. I do wish I was able to test it, because I tried to actually test drive it. Based on what they have here, it seems like you can actually set your own custom goal, and it'll actually track in the dashboard as you stream. And it's not all based on, like, one of my big things with the goals is you don't want to set goals on like reach 25 viewers, right? Because you can't really set that and achieve it yourself, versus like stream X number of times or stream on this schedule, which it seems like they have support for it, which is really cool. There's like a small little snippet here I see of stream on mobile 3 times and shows your progress on that bar. So that kind of thing is cool, especially if it's on your dashboard, like as you're streaming, and it checks off as you complete the stream. I think it's a cool little just motivation piece to help you keep streaming. I don't think it'll be used a ton by people. I didn't even hear about this, honestly, when it came out. So I don't know how well known it is. But if there's ways you can actually add that, maybe like some preset goals for new streamers that are actually good goals of like stream 3 times or something, then it could be a cool way to kind of encourage people to keep trying if they, you know, get a stream or two in and kind of lose motivation initially.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think there's probably a large number of people that get into streaming and start streaming with Streamlabs OBS. And I don't think I would be upsetting anyone in saying that it probably is a bit more beginner friendly than OBS Studio. And I know OBS Studio is currently working on improved UI and things like that to hopefully help new users get involved. But the fact that it's like got the alerts built in, that's the big appeal to it. Now, me, massive OBS Studio fanboy. I will always be using OBS Studio because it's the OG, it's the open source, it's the one that the community has built, and they haven't tried to monetize it in any ways. And I've spoken with Jim a few times and really rate him. So for me, always OBS Studio, and I'll probably make a video about the differences at some point. But I do think any kind of new features that Streamlabs builds into their software is only going to be helpful to streamers that like using that software. And I don't have anything against anybody that does use that software. The other thing that they've announced is completely separate to Streamlabs OBS, and I think could be pretty useful. We've seen basically another version of this, but this one looks a little bit more polished. It's called CrossClip. It's still in beta or beta. But effectively what you can do is highlight a Twitch clip, put the URL in, and then customize through the software 2 areas, one for your camera and one for your gameplay, and then it will build that into a, I want to say 16:9, but that's the wrong way around, isn't it? 9:16 video, vertical video. So designed for TikTok and YouTube Reels and, no, Instagram Reels, YouTube. I want to say Stories. It's not even Stories, is it? Shorts.
Isn't it Shorts?
That's it.
And Stories, though.
They should just all use the same name. That would be so much easier for us. I mean, this does look quite polished. I haven't played with it yet, but the other software that we looked at maybe like 3 months ago, StreamLadder, I think it was called, is very similar to that. Both of them have free and paid versions, which include like a watermark. But certainly for like testing it out for free, I think this is well worth a go to see how it works and a really simple way of being able to get your highlights onto platforms like TikTok and Instagram and things like that. Annoyingly, like I wish there was better ways of monetizing it. If I bring up the pro tab here, $5 a month is quite a lot to pay for software like this, I feel like, especially as, you know, you could get Premiere Pro for not much more than that, and you can do a whole lot more if you learn how to use software like that. But I understand that it's meant to be simple and easy to use. I just wish that it wasn't such a high price point, or the free version didn't have like a watermark as well as like an end screen at the end, which is just going to be promoting this software. So what do you think?
The watermark is unfortunate. I think this is a cool concept because it makes it really, really easy to make your clips. And we keep talking about how big, we're going to talk about more, how big TikTok is and Instagram and YouTube. And the fact you can take that one clip and put it on all three places is pretty nice. And it hasn't really historically been easy to make those, especially because this looks like it's on mobile too. I actually haven't tried it, but there's a mobile app for it as well. So you imagine like if you're someone who can stream at night or something, and then the next day you're at work and you have some time during your lunch break or something to put a couple of clips together, that could actually be worth it, I think, to just make five clips or so and then pump them out to socials. If you can do that, I kind of feel like it's worth it, especially if it is on mobile and it just exports directly from the app. I haven't tried it yet, so I'm not totally sure. But again, it's been so hard to make those historically that I think it's cool. The StreamLadder thing is great though too. And if it's the same thing but free, then I don't know why I'd use this version.
Both of them have a free and a paid tier, which are kind of similar. They both have like a watermark. And I know that this one, CrossClip, the one by Streamlabs, has like an outro, which is also promoting CrossClip. But in my head, I'm like, that would be so easy to cut down even on your phone. Like pretty much every phone allows you to trim a video, just like remove the end of it. But you'd still have a watermark, but I'm not trying to get around the paywall. I'm just saying that I think this is a great tool for people, like you said, that are short on time and, you know, want to be able to promote their content in a vertical format. This is much easier to get started with than learning how to edit video, as well as it being much quicker than downloading a VOD, finding the highlight, arranging your camera on top. The thing is, you can't really do anything outside of that though. Like you can't zoom into your face to like enhance the reaction. You can't add subtitles or things like that. Maybe those features will come in the future. And I hope they do, especially if they're going to price it at like $5 a month for the pro version. But it's cool to put these tools into creators' hands, because when we saw this with StreamLadder, I was like, that is such a good idea. The fact that you can like choose where your camera is and have 4x3 or 16x9 and then like make it into a vertical format. They've made something that would have been quite a difficult task, like very, very simple, haven't they? So
yeah,
I'm all for it, to be honest. And as we'll see in the next piece of news, TikTok maybe is the platform that we should all be creating content on at the end of the day.
Yeah, apparently. Real quick, there was a question from someone who asked if it's going to be in the Prime subscription for Slabs, which I don't see anything on the page about being part of Prime. But yeah, I mean, that seems like a great tool to put in that subscription if you're looking for that stuff. So we'll have to look into that and see if they add it.
I mean, that's a great shout. They should be putting things like this into Prime, because that just increases the value of Prime, doesn't it? And this is a genuinely useful tool that people could use.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they haven't done that. But yeah, let's go on to the news about TikTok that we saw. Now, this was a couple of weeks ago now, but Ed Sheeran, the musician, if you don't know who he is, from England, obviously, has broken the record for TikTok's live performance. So basically a live stream on TikTok at 5.5 million viewers, which is kind of nuts. I don't know how they actually decipher if that's live or not, because that to me seems like the number of people that maybe watched the VOD even after it was live. I don't really know a lot about how the TikTok live platform works, but either way, I think it was an exclusive gig that he had sorted with TikTok and the promotion and all those kind of things. And maybe it's going to be a platform to stream on. I can't personally see how a vertical video platform would work for streaming, but I also couldn't see how it would work for VOD format. It clearly has worked for VOD format, hasn't it?
That's the thing about TikTok. Like, you think, for maybe I'm too boomer, I feel like I don't get it, but clearly everyone else gets it. And I better get it soon, because I'm left behind. No, but this is crazy to see the viewership on this thing. Looking into the article, it looks like it was across the live viewership and then two replays. So kind of like three essential viewings of it. And I don't know if it was like concurrent viewers or if that was just total views across, probably total views across the whole thing. But yeah, still a crazy amount of viewership on TikTok. And the first I've really seen a music headline for a live event on TikTok, which based on this, it seems like they might do more of them because it worked so well. I would not be surprised if we see them try to do more musician streams in the future like that.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to see that across all platforms, to be honest. I think as mainstream media starts to realize like how powerful live can be, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw album launches and concerts, you know, more prevalent in the live streaming platforms. The other thing that TikTok announced, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Cameo, but you've probably seen some videos from it. But, oh no, I'm on the wrong one here. This one, sorry. they've launched a new feature called Shoutouts, which is effectively the exact same as what Cameo was as an app. So Cameo as an app basically allowed you to request short videos from celebrities or influencers. And you could, you know, ask for a happy birthday message, or you could ask for a shout out to one of your friends and they'd record a short video. You've probably seen the ones of like Tony Hawk congratulating some young skater or all those kind of things. But TikTok has now built that feature into their platform called Shoutouts and basically directly connected the fans to the influencers. So as long as they're on TikTok, they can request a short video and the creator will receive, I guess, the majority of that money and TikTok will take a cut. So I don't think if this has been officially announced. This was the main tweet that I could find people talking about it. It seems to be a screenshot from the app, which I can bring up here. But I'm surprised that another app hasn't tried to copy this. Like Instagram really has copied so many features from Snapchat over the years. Why did they not ever think about the Cameo side of things when pretty much every mainstream celebrity and influencer is probably on their platform?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think this makes a lot of sense for TikTok, especially because TikTok has the capability to sort of like quote a comment. I don't know if you've seen that. I don't know how much you've used TikTok, but yeah, it's kind of where you're taking someone's comment and making a video out of that. So this kind of feels like the next level of that in a sense, which makes a lot of sense. I don't know. Are there other monetization options on TikTok right now, or is this the first one as far as we know?
I think there's like a creator fund, like similar to YouTube Shorts one, which is like performance based. So I don't think there's like, I don't think you can directly see, you know, when you upload a video, how much that's impacted. But I think depending on how well your videos do on TikTok, you can earn some money. I think it's nowhere near the levels of YouTube, if I'm being honest.
Right.
But I think, I think there is some monetization built in and this is obviously building on it. So they're clearly pushing for, you know, mainstream creators and influencers to be on the platform, which is cool to see. And maybe the reason why is the tab that I went on earlier by accident is that it's been found that people are now spending more time on TikTok than YouTube, Facebook, and even Netflix. Which then we need to stop being boomers about this and get the app and start using it. I feel like it's a dark rabbit hole that you can go down. You end up spending 3 hours of your night just scrolling endlessly. I like to curate and like choose what video I want to watch by looking at thumbnails and titles, I guess. So to me, I'm still this boomer on the outside being like, I don't see the appeal, but you can't argue with numbers like this. It's outperforming YouTube, Facebook, and even Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, so just disclaimer, this is on Android, but I mean, it's pretty safe to assume it's true on iOS too. And I will say, if you scroll down a little bit, hey, I'm actually on the trend for my region, but Pete, you over there in the UK, you're way behind the curve TikTok adoption. So you better catch up there pretty soon because we just passed it in the US. But I mean, it's staggering how much more attention TikTok has just in general across everything. I did think it's interesting how South Korea is way behind though compared to the other. I don't know why they showed that one in particular, but that was pretty interesting. But yeah, I mean, we're purely too boomer for this, so we better get on pretty quick, start adding some more podcast snippets to TikTok pretty soon too.
In my head, another argument that I give for having not really spent much time on it is because I feel like tutorials don't work in that short of a form. And I think TikTok recently increased the max time to 3 minutes, so you probably could get a tutorial through. And I know some other creators on YouTube have like managed to make tutorials over there, but I don't know. I need to. We can't keep talking about it every week and ignoring it, can we, Ben? We have to look at that in the United Kingdom. Half the amount of time is spent on YouTube as in TikTok. I could have double the watch time.
You better pick it up soon, Pete. I mean, speaks for itself.
Can I go for the laziest method, which is just to take my 16:9 videos and turn them sideways, yep, so everyone has to crank their neck to be able to watch them? You know, real low effort things.
Yeah, I mean, mobile sideways TikTok is the future, I guess. Now, I mean, what did you think of the YouTube clip, by the way? Because you talked about who did the first your YouTube short. Mm-hmm. Again, naming confusing me, but how was the reception on that for just testing it so far?
It's been mixed. I think it's hard for me to be able to judge if people's reaction is because it was a short and the first short that I've ever done, or if it was because it was a bit clickbaity. And I know how much people hate clickbait, but it was taking a snippet from our interview with last week with Julian, the GM of Elgato, and asking him about his perception of people saying that their products are overpriced. And it's doing okay. I think short performance doesn't really happen straight away. From what I've seen some other creators saying, that it can take a couple of weeks to see any improvement. And I can't just give up after one. I have to, you know, test it properly. But the way I still browse YouTube, and which is why I think it took me so long to get onto Shorts, was I still go to the subscription page, and I do use the homepage every so often. But like when I get back from a weekend when I haven't been on the internet at all, I'll go to my subscription tab and I'll scroll down to the last video that I saw. And then I'll look at every thumbnail and title since then of all my subscriptions and open any videos that feel relevant to me. So Shorts still appear in that, even though I'm on desktop. Whereas how they're designed to be used is so many people are browsing on the mobile app that Shorts are a part of that on mobile. And so many people are browsing YouTube by just using the homepage of what's recommended. They're not getting recommended to people that are on desktop. So
yeah,
that's kind of made me realize that I must be in such a minority of going to the subscription tab still on YouTube to actually see all the thumbnails and titles of the people that I subscribe to, because yeah, Shorts still show there, and it's a weird experience if you're on desktop. So how do you browse YouTube? Because you're a big YouTube viewer.
Yeah, right? I'm trying to get away from YouTube, to be honest, because I've been spending so much time on it. But I use the home tab a lot. I don't ever look at the clips, if I'm being honest, unless it's like someone I happen to follow makes one. I'd never look for them just organically. That might change. But yeah, I mean, that's how I generally use it. And it would be weird to kind of watch it on desktop. But I think that's why it's kind of cool to test out different types of content with that, though, where you might... I know a lot of creators made a second channel just for these types of videos, since it is that different format and that sort of shorter, either funny or it seems like most TikToks that I've seen either fall into comedy or music. And there's not a whole lot of stuff outside of that yet. Sometimes it's like a funny tutorial or something, or a funny song, but it seems like it kind of tied into those two genres right now. And same thing for YouTube and Instagram that I've seen. So if you have a channel that doesn't fit into that, it could be tough to kind of find your way in with an existing channel, I think, versus a new one.
We're getting lots of input actually from the chat. So people that have more experience than us, definitely with TikTok. The Dire Wolf says, for some reason, my shorts do way better than the same video on TikTok. I probably don't have the best hashtags or something figured out. So they're definitely seeing better performance on YouTube shorts. But I saw a comment previously saying, from Menemez Cho, saying growth is unreal on TikTok, 1,000 on YouTube versus 500,000 on TikTok. So I think that's been a lot of people's experiences, that one does better. I know there was a Peter McKinnon video where he was talking about how he was putting the same vertical videos up on Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts and TikTok, and was comparing the numbers between them. TikTok seemed to be the biggest numbers, and that's probably because there's literally hundreds of thousands of people on the platform at the same time. Since we're talking about YouTube, let's start talking about the title of this live stream.
Yep.
The four new features. Do you want to jump in first? I've got the Twitter thread open here on screen, which I think introduces them in a nice like one at a time format. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. So these are features that I think we've talked about some of them, either wanting them or they've come out in little betas before, but some pretty big updates coming to YouTube finally. The first one on the list is clips, which is just like it sounds like. You can now clip any gaming creator with 1K subs or more. And I think it's for not just the streams, but for videos as well, right? You can actually take a snippet of a video and share that. So I haven't seen that used yet, but maybe some use cases there. That's the first thing that we saw. The second one was the sub only chat, which again was something that I think like Valkyrae had earlier, but it's finally coming out to more channels now, which again is a huge, a lot of these things are just parody with Twitch at this point, but are big feature ads for YouTube, especially to kind of keep up the competitiveness. I don't know if there's a restriction on who has access to it or if it's just global. Did you see that, Pete, by chance?
The tweet just says it just says streamers. So to me, it seems like anybody that's live streaming on the platform. Before we get onto feature 3 and 4, let's dive into these two a bit, because you mentioned with clips that it's kind of an interesting and different way to how it is done on Twitch. The main difference, in my point of view, is that clips on YouTube take the actual page that you visit once you have a URL of a clip is still the video page. So you get this highlighted segment of up to 30 seconds, I think it is. Maybe it's up to 60 seconds. But it's very, very easy for you then to continue watching the rest of the video, which is a really good thing if, you know, you can clip little segments of a tutorial video, even share that on social media, and then people can quite easily go, and all the views count towards the original video and things like that. The downside is it's, in my opinion, I think a little bit less browsable. It's not like you can have a page of clips, and I know Twitch hasn't done a great job of that either, but that to me seems like such an easy feature to build, like loads and loads of highlights that have been put together. Now maybe they think that that's, you know, cross-pollinating with their new shorts feature, but I think there's pros and cons to that method of YouTube clips versus Twitch clips. At least they're both using the same name.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's cool to be able to take that little snippet of an area, although you can kind of already do that with YouTube because you can start at a specific time, which is what I've always done. But if you just want that little section, I guess that's useful for like in the middle of a conversation, and it is cool. So it does count to the actual video view count as well, just to watch that clip of the video. I mean, that's really cool if you get that piece as well. Like you said, Twitch really hasn't made it super browsable for their clips. So I guess they're not like not competing in that area if they're not doing it on YouTube either. Plus the videos are still getting found that way. So ultimately I think it's pretty cool. Again, I haven't actually watched a clip of a video from YouTube yet. I think I've just seen actual live stream clips. Have you seen any uses of the video?
I mean, doesn't that kind of highlight to you that it's not being used?
I mean, it is also new, but
it is still, it is new, but I think this has been, I mean, this has been on some creators' channels for a little while now. I think they've just now rolled it out to gaming creators and streamers. I think it's cool that it can be used on live streams and VOD format, and we'll see over the coming months how much it actually gets used, but for me, I think whenever I want to share a little snippet from a video on Twitter, I'm still going to re-render a dedicated video that I put up to Twitter. You know, in the back of my head, I'm always like, does Twitter really want you leaving the platform and going to YouTube with like a YouTube link? So maybe it's better just to upload a dedicated video. That's conspiracy tinfoil hat theory. but yeah, clips. That's clips. Let's say we've discussed clips. Now let's go on to the sub-only chat that we mentioned. I'll bring up the screen share again. What I think is quite interesting from this little GIF, and you probably can't see it that well on the live stream, but they're selecting that they want subscriber-only chat. And I think we mentioned this at the time when it was first announced, but there is a few different levels that you can have here. You can have anyone sending chat messages. You can have subscriber-only, so people that are subscribe, and remember, YouTube subscribers is completely free. It's just subscribers of your channel. Then you have members, which is like actually what this means by subs-only chat, I guess. The comparison to Twitch, where you can only have the people that are members of your channel chatting, and then you can even set completely specific people where you can type in their name as to who can chat. So I think this has got a lot of potential to it if you do want to moderate your chat in that way. I mean, our live stream here is relatively busy, but it's not busy enough, I don't think, to have huge moderation as I look down at the screen and see message deleted by Benjamin Green 12 times. So maybe we do need more moderators in here. But I think this is cool. And they also have the ability to set a timer on this, so you can have like subscriber only chat for 1 hour and then it will automatically turn back off again, which I don't think you can do on Twitch.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it seems like there's more options here, which is pretty cool. So I'm glad they finally got this. I know especially for a lot of big creators, this was something they had won for a long time. So, and I think there's even like certain levels of following. And it's also, so I have a lot to say about this. So YouTube has been around for a long time, right? I saw this video from Valkyrie where she had it set to like 10 plus years subscribed or something. I forget how long it's been, but you can essentially have people have been subscribed for a very long time on YouTube because it's such an older platform essentially. So it's kind of cool to see if you really want like just the OGs in your channel to be able to chat, you could do that with the freedom here. I don't think you probably should for most people, but you know, if like you're watching, I don't know, a PewDiePie or a doc stream and they have people who have followed for 3+ years, you can do that, which is kind of cool.
Is that right? Or are you misunderstanding the feature? I thought this was like you setting a timer as to how long that chat restriction was in place. So like you could have subscriber only chat for 2 hours and then it would go mm-hmm. back to everybody able to chat.
Yeah, I think there's different sides of it, but I think you can actually set for how long someone's been subscribed to be able to chat from what I heard as well.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
I did not know.
Sorry,
that.
I don't even mix those two. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's just something that's not really on Twitch as far as I know. So that's kind of the first feature I've seen that's more tied. And maybe they do have some stuff on Twitch for like a certain amount of years of following, but I don't often see it used. I just thought it's super interesting for like that top 1% of people who've been on YouTube for a decade, right? Being able to kind of have your first community people be the only people can talk if you want to for a special event or something. It's pretty interesting to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I did not know that. I probably should have read the full article rather than just looking at the tweets. Right, feature number three is the one that we ran at the start of this stream, which is the ability... Oh, this is actually saying feature number four. What have I missed here? Clips,
many features.
Oh yeah, yeah. The fourth isn't in this thread. Sorry, I've got it now. So this is the third feature that we're talking about, which is the ability to run a poll. Now this was super simple. I'd not done it before, but at the start of the stream, there's a button at the bottom of my chat because I'm obviously logged in as the streamer where I can create a poll. I can add as many options as I wanted. Maybe that's a limit to 4 options or something. And then it sends it out and it sort of appears at the top of everybody's chat window, and then they could just click between the two votes. And in fact, I've just ended the poll now, and it posts in chat for me, hopefully it posts in chat for everybody, that the poll ended with 65% yes and 34% no, which doesn't add up to 100%, but I imagine that's just a rounding error.
That's weird.
But yeah, that's something that's existed on Twitch for a long time. I guess a lot of people wanted it on YouTube. It's good to see, I think, in general, that there's this feature parity starting to come, that YouTube is mm-hmm. clearly working on this live streaming platform. It's not just like a set and forget, that they're building features that people have wanted for a long time. So yeah, polls, any input on that, Ben, or is it just as simple as it's kind of the same as Twitch now?
Yeah, I mean, I think this one's cool. This one was added, if I remember correctly, more recently to Twitch. So it's not like this has been a huge gap versus like Clips has been around for years on Twitch and they just sort of getting on YouTube. So, but I think between Clips and especially between Clips and sub only chat, those are some of the biggest features I think that YouTube is missing. So that's a huge boost. Polls is nice. Things like predictions on Twitch, I guess, could be cool to add. I don't think they're a huge deal. So I feel like polls and predictions are kind of more nice to haves versus like Clips and the members sub only chat was a need to have. So that's pretty much, like you said, kind of showing that YouTube really wants to compete with Twitch at this point and is kind of filling those gaps they've had for a while. I think there's one more thing as well, which is a newish feature.
Yeah, super thanks. I mean, I hate the name, but they've kind of done, they've gone down this route of using the word super for super chat. What else do they have? Super chat, super thanks. I feel like there's another one. It'll probably tell us in here, like super subscriber or something like that. But yeah, they've added basically a new monetization option for people to say thanks with a tip, effectively. So it can be in a live stream, it can be in a video itself, and it's sort of this GIF here is showing that you'll actually see your message alongside the tip that you have given. So it can all be done through app or through the website, and it'll actually appear as a comment in mm-hmm. the comments along with the tip. So it's a way of being able to thank creators exactly like a tip or a donation, but actually built directly into YouTube. And I am pretty sure that it's the exact same split that you have on the rest of YouTube, so 70-30. So better than bits, but right. Yeah, still not as good as a direct donation, but the fact that it's built into the platform, I guess, is pretty nice.
Yeah, I think the thing that's really interesting to me for all these features is actually less on the live stream side and more on the regular video side, because I've actually seen a couple of videos that have the super thanks since they added this like just last week. So seems like people are trying it out, which is pretty cool. And it's like a whole new revenue source that you're opening up for your content, with your video content, because you've kind of had this feature already on live streams with just regular donations or I think stickers and that sort of stuff, depending on your platform. So this one being added to VODs is a very different type of thing, because you don't have that same live interaction piece. Like the viewer is not going to see it pop up in the video when they do this type of thing, but maybe you get featured in the comment section. I think there's a little color difference, like mm-hmm. you said. So it's just a cool new way to have some incentive to donate, I said, to support a creator when that happens, essentially.
We actually saw, now that I've read a little bit, it's Super Chat and Super Stickers are the two of the other features. And this is now Super Thanks. Like, I hate the name personally, but I can see why they're going down that route. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I haven't received a Super Thanks yet, as far as I know, on YouTube channel, but you'd like to think for channels, you know, that are building tutorials or helping people, this could be that never go live. This could be a way that people get to, you know, show their support. So you've got to hand it to YouTube. They are always thinking about ways of increasing monetization. And I know you can be cynical about that and think that they're just trying to, you know, improve their bottom line as well, which they absolutely are. And that is their main concern. It does benefit the creator as well. So we'll see. These features that YouTube introduces, if they don't get used, they usually get canned. And we've seen that a few times. So if it gets used, we'll certainly be following it and seeing if it gets used more and more. Whilst we're on the topic of YouTube, it's not really a new feature yet, but the Creator Insider channel, which is one that I've been telling people to subscribe to for a long time, which kind of covers weekly news topics from the people that actually work at YouTube, they hinted that they're going to be doing some achievement card experiments on YouTube, which I've got a screenshot open here. I've also got closed captions on, but basically this is showing the kind of thing that they're building now. Twitch, I think you've got to hand it to them, do have a good achievement tracker, and whether that's actually what you need to do to improve as a streamer or not could be up for debate. But the fact that when you start streaming on Twitch, you have that like path to affiliate, path to partner, various different achievements about, you know, your live stream or how many viewers you've got or the chat interaction, the things that you should be concerned about, I think this would be a great feature on YouTube, because YouTube's it's more difficult, I would say, to get to that monetization step, or it might not be more difficult, but it's a scarier, bigger number, and being able to track your progress in reaching the watch time requirements or the subscriber requirements to be able to get monetization, I think this would be a really useful thing. Now, maybe I should take myself away from this, because I've probably achieved the majority of these achievements. So for you, Ben, somebody that's a little newer to YouTube, would you rate this, or is it just a gimmicky feature?
This is interesting. I think it's a cool feature. I think it's nice to have this option. I'm kind of curious, people who are watching in chat right now on the Twitch side, because this reminds me a lot of Twitch's achievement system, which, like you said, Pete, I think if you're trying to get to affiliate, you're trying to get a partner, you follow those achievements pretty closely. And that's nice to have. I don't ever really look at the achievements on Twitch for things like hitting a viewership threshold or watch time or stream time. I mean, I might notice it if it pops up, but like, I'm never going into the achievements and being like, okay, I got to get X watch time for this bet. I don't really just do that. I don't know if anyone else here does. But I think it is nice to be able to track your progress on stuff, especially for new people. If you're new to either YouTube or Twitch, having a feature system like this to kind of set something to work for is probably pretty nice. I just, in practice, I don't see myself using this that often if they add it. I might check it out every like once or twice a year, but probably not very consistently.
Yeah, Cherko in the chat says that they feel like it's already pretty well explained in the YouTube analytics. And I think YouTube has done a really great job with the analytics page. But at the same time, for a newbie, for somebody that's like uploading their first ever video, you can get lost so easily in the stats there. You probably don't know a lot about click-through rate and retention and things like that. So if they can have a nice way to be able to track progress through achievements, and probably what they're also going to do is ways to share that achievement on social media, to hopefully increase the engagement even further. I'm not going to use it, and I think probably a lot of creators aren't going to use it, but if it helps anybody in building a career in content on YouTube, then I think it's probably worth it.
Yeah, I think it's a nice celebration feature to have, especially, again, if you're very new, and you might get really excited about just hitting like a basic milestone, and maybe you get like an email or something to celebrate that. That could be kind of a cool moment to share with people. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just don't think it's like a feature that I'm like super excited to get on the platform, because it's going to change anything. It just, for my opinion, but it seems like Twitch or chat here kind of agrees on the Twitch feeling that I had there too. So just kind of interesting to see the differences between the platforms on those things.
Yeah. Dr. Fu says that it needs progress bars, and I'd agree. You want to see actually improvement, don't you? You want to see how close you're getting to some of these achievements. It's not rolled out. It's just being tested. Usually YouTube tests features like this either with partners first or just with a random like 1% of people using YouTube. So I guess the feedback that they get from that will determine whether or not it'll actually be implemented for everyone. So what have we done? We've done Twitch, TikTok, YouTube. Let's move on to Twitter, because there's a couple of updates from Twitter this week, or this week, or last week even. The first one is that they're shutting down Fleets. Now, Ben, you've got to save me here. Please tell me you use Fleets at some point so that we have some expertise on this topic.
Actually, I may have put out a single Fleet, if I'm being honest with you. I think it was, I just had a picture I posted on Instagram and I was like, I'll try a Fleet and put it out. And then I forgot about it for the rest of its existence. So F's in the chat for Fleets. If you guys used Fleets here, please let us know. If you're very sad about Fleets going, please let us know. Because I think I remember them coming out the day that it got released. And then I never looked at them again. I don't know about you, Pete. Did you have a different experience?
I never even saw these in app. And I don't know if you had to enable them in some way. But it was... so that you can agree with me, it was basically like stories, right? 24 hour yes. long, and then they expired, and you would see all the accounts that you follow that had a Fleet at the top. Maybe just nobody that I followed had a Fleet, but I find that very hard to believe. I never saw this at the top of my app, and I'm using the latest version of Twitter on my phone, so I don't know. Maybe they knew that I was going to slate it on the podcast, and they just blacklisted my account, but I don't think anyone's going to miss this. Surely there was nobody that was reliant on Fleets, and if you were, then you can just go to any platform that has stories now.
That is kind of why I'm surprised. I mean, because you look at how big TikTok, we talked about half the show, how big these vertical streaming platforms are for video, and Fleet shuts down. So I don't know if maybe it's just a server cost thing or they want to move people around to different areas. But yeah, I mean, I just didn't use it. So there must have been some reason they had to move people around, because, or they just thought they couldn't compete with TikTok because it's too far ahead at this point, which is fair. I mean, it's Twitter at the end of the day, so they still have what they do pretty well. I don't think they necessarily need to compete with TikTok on that platform. But hopefully it means they're working on other better stuff instead of Fleets.
Well,
we'll have to see.
You say that they don't need to compete with TikTok and copy their features, but what about Reddit with a downvote feature, which is what they have apparently testing right now. They're only on iOS devices at the moment, but the screenshot probably is the most interesting thing here. They're testing out a few different ways of liking and disliking. They've specifically said it's not a dislike button, but I can't see how it would be used in any other way. But essentially, replacing the like button with an up arrow and having a down arrow next to it, or thumbs up, thumbs down, things like that. And I thought when I first saw this, this could be useful if they're doing it like Reddit, where they're sorting the replies in order of upvotes. Because if you follow like a huge account and maybe you want to see like the funniest response or the most relevant response at the top rather than like having to browse down. But apparently they've said they're not even doing that. So I don't really understand why they would want to implement this feature. Mm-hmm. They've even said that downvotes aren't public, so nobody can see when you've downvoted something. It's basically just to say that you don't agree with the sentiment so that they can learn what is and what isn't relevant to the conversation. So I don't know. They released this, they tweeted this out, that this was going to be a feature that they're testing, and I thought, this could be useful in some aspects, but then they've kind of said in follow-up tweets that any of those aspects don't actually matter. So I'm struggling to see the reason behind the feature. Maybe you've got a better understanding than me.
This is such a weird execution. Because I feel differently about a downvote or a dislike button in general. On the one hand, like the negativity, I feel like Twitter can be a pretty negative platform, maybe just in like the spaces I've seen. So I feel like that could get abused, but at the same time, it could be useful because I also see a lot of bad takes on Twitter or like bombing stuff that could be combated at least kind of on some of that stuff. But if it's not even visible, like what's the point of disliking anything? I don't understand why you would ever do it. Maybe just for yourself, you don't want to see more of that stuff in the future.
Yeah, it could just be about trying to improve the algorithm of how they recommend things, because most people's Twitter feed now isn't chronological. It's sorted by what they think you want to see, like all platforms are. There was a good comment from Grimity, who said that they've added a dislike button, but they still haven't got an edit button anywhere for editing tweets. I think Twitter have had a pretty solid stance on not having an edit option. Yeah. But I feel like Twitter have been adding loads of features recently. We saw like Twitter Blue and all these kind of like features that they're either testing or rolling out to a small portion of the audience, as well as all the donation stuff that we saw where you can donate directly to Twitter accounts. But I still don't see any of it being used. But like we saw with the fleets, maybe my account is just set up for the most basic version of Twitter ever, still running from like 2010.
No, I mean, I agree. I think Twitter, I feel like Twitter hadn't made a lot of changes for a while. And then in the past year, there's all this news that's come out, and even including fleets, the rise and fall of fleets. But it's just kind of interesting because it seems like they want to find more ways to change the platform and monetize it, especially a lot of monetization plays recently coming out. So we'll have to kind of see what they do with it in the future. I think in general, the downvote thing, again, it could be good. They say it's a test. So, you know, it probably won't release to everybody like this. If it does release to the whole platform, and maybe they'll change it before it goes out. I just feel like if you can't see your dislike impacting, it just won't get used that often.
Mm.
But maybe, you know, somebody else said here, I would use it because then hopefully Twitter would show less of it, Dr. Fu said. So it could be true. If you know, they'll actually take that into consideration, maybe. But I also feel like being able to see your impact on something is a big part of why you do stuff, even like downvoting on Reddit, because you know you're going to bring that post down. That's why you use the feature. Same for upvoting. So
you're bringing everyone down, Ben. You're just a serial downvoter. That's all you do.
That's what I'm here for.
Keyboard warrior over there. All right, I think we've done...
Go on. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, you're fine.
Okay. We've done pretty much every platform. There's a tiny little Instagram update that I want to share. But again, it's a testing feature. They haven't committed to it at all. But the way that Instagram typically works is once you hit 10,000 followers, you get the ability to swipe up on stories. So you can add links to things on stories, which is super useful if you're ever doing anything with a brand. You can directly link through to their website. Or if you are a YouTuber, you can link to your new videos. You know, quite often when you're sharing something on Instagram stories, you want to be able to allow your audience to then follow a link through. But typically, that's been reserved for accounts above 10,000. Gaming Careers isn't above 10,000, just FYI. So if you're not following me on Instagram, there's so much behind the scenes over there. Get over. I won't get 10,000 from that, trust me. But they're testing out a new feature where you can effectively add a link directly onto your story. So similar to how you add a location, or if you mention somebody, you can use these little sort of tags onto your photos. They're testing out the feature to be able to add a link, which could be cool to anybody. So it wouldn't just be for 10K and above. I don't know if you can customize what the link actually says or if it has to be the exact URL, which would be super ugly. But this would be a cool feature for all of us that don't have 10K followers on Instagram and still want to link across to things, because it's kind of annoying like that I have to say, oh, my new YouTube video is out on my channel. I can't link to it, you know. I mean, you could use like a link page, you know, where you have several different links, but it's nowhere near as clean, is it? So this was actually a couple of weeks ago now, so maybe they finished testing the feature. But I felt like since we had so much news on Twitch, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, we had to get one for Instagram just to complete the Venn diagram of social medias.
Yeah, I had to throw them a bone. I mean, this is pretty big. I don't know how far it's rolling out to people since it is a test, but Instagram is one of the toughest platforms to actually promote content on, I feel like, because you just have that one link in your bio historically until you get the swipe up feature. So if you can actually link to stuff in your stories, that's really big, because also 10,000 is a pretty big goal to have to hit to get that feature, even versus other platforms to have, you know, similar achievement features, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they do add it, I think for me, I think it'd be great. Kind of like we talked about before with the whole affiliate thing, though, hopefully it's not like everyone starts linking when they have that feature and it just becomes like
spam.
You know, all stories have links in them. Because I don't know about you guys in chat, but I use stories on Instagram, I think, more than the main feed at this point. I kind of just go through a lot of those stories. So, and probably because there's less ads and that kind of stuff in the stories. So this could result in more of that stuff happening. So I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
I think I'm the same. I think I probably browse stories more than I browse the feed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe that's just because we love vertical video.
We're learning. We love slowly.
That vertical format. Our brains are just being trained to enjoy it. I'm probably the same. And I wish I posted on Instagram stories more. Like sometimes I get into a complete like roll with it and I end up like posting like 10 things in a day because it's always at the top of my mind, and then I'll go like 2 days and not post anything. I'm like, oh, so much stuff that I did yesterday would have been good for an Instagram story, but because it's not top of mind, I didn't do it. So maybe if they added this feature, I'd use it more, because it would be super useful to be able to, you know, link the podcast or link YouTube videos and things like that. Shall we finish off with talking about Mr. Beast? Because we have gone on a little bit, but I do want to cover this because I think it's an interesting topic for us to talk about. Mr. Beast,
this is super
for
cool.
Anybody that doesn't know, is a YouTuber who's blown up over the last 5 years, I would say, doing absolutely ridiculous stunts. Very good with his thumbnails and titles, and just does crazy things. Well, he has launched a second channel. I'm sure he has like five channels already, but he's launched a channel which is exactly the same as his main channel, except for it is completely dubbed and subtitled in Spanish. So it's not his voice. He's clearly paid a company to help with this, and somebody is speaking his voice but saying the Spanish words, so that these videos do well in Spanish-speaking countries, which we've seen is a huge, huge portion of the world. I'm not going to play any of it because, I mean, it's, you can go and find the video yourself if you want to watch it. But they've done a pretty good job. It's not meant to look like it's actually him speaking it, but if you're a kid wanting to watch Mr. Beast but you didn't understand English, then this would be how you'd go about it. So I guess my question to you, Ben, is this going to be the future? Is it all going to stem on how well this does, and then other creators are going to follow suit?
I think this is super cool, because I can't think of anyone else who's done this, at least at the level that Mr. Beast is at with content, right? One of the biggest barriers with your audience base is your language. And we talk about how big, especially on Twitch, the Spanish speaking audiences, with the streamership just blowing up. Like, you look at the top five countries that are growing on Twitch, it's like 4 out of 5 are Spanish speaking countries. So that's a huge audience, especially in gaming content, who want content in Spanish. And so he started this entire new channel in Spanish, and I think it's already got like some crazy amount of views and subscribers on the channel, which probably a lot from his existing channels, right? But I mean, it also shows there's a lot of people who want to watch stuff in Spanish, who couldn't have watched it potentially before because they couldn't have enjoyed the way he was doing it besides doing captions. So I think it's actually a huge opportunity. And I think he will do great with it. And I think we will see other streamers and content creators, probably more content creators on YouTube, do this, because I don't think you can quite do it on streaming the same way. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just opening yourself up to a whole new audience. And even though it is dubbed, I don't think it's a huge deal as long as it's done well, because it's just really good content at the end of the day. Like, Mr. Beast is the master of what he does. So I think it'll be received really well. And I'm excited to see if that continues the whole trend going forward, honestly.
I wonder what YouTube's thoughts on it are. Would they prefer people to start using the closed captions in a different language? But then you're kind of taking away from the viewing experience if you're constantly reading closed captions versus actually like being able to hear a Spanish voice. I'm not going to lie. In the past like 2 years, I've had a few companies reach out to me and offer this service. But whenever I've gone to look at the examples on the website, it's always been embarrassingly bad, like robot accent. Somebody reading it out verbatim, like each word translated into Spanish. So I've never even considered it, but it will be interesting to see how this does. And if it's super popular, I wouldn't be surprised if all the other big YouTubers start channels in Spanish and kind of follow suit, because effectively you create the video once and then he's probably partnered with a company that he either pays every month or takes some kind of percentage of how much these videos earn, but it's just another revenue stream for no extra work from his point of view. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. There must be like a Spanish Mr. Beast out there who's like creating videos and who's cursing now, thinking that was my only difference from this guy, was that I could speak Spanish and he couldn't, and now he can, or an actor can anyway. The other thing I want to know is whether they're using the exact same video and just dubbing over the top, or if they're going to get access to the whole video, and maybe, because there must be points in the video where like the English translation to Spanish doesn't make complete sense without a little bit more context, like a few more words or something like that. So I wonder if it's exactly like they're just getting given the finished video and then having to dub over the top of that, or if they're getting a whole project of video files and kind of making their own Spanish version. I guess that probably depends on how well it does. If it starts to do really well, they'll put more resource into it. But
yeah, I'm sure it's a test, and he's kind of the guinea pig for all future people who want to do this in the future. But overall, I just have a good feeling about it. We'll have to see how it plays out. I know some people here are saying even though there's a lot of growth in Spanish viewers, North American is still the biggest contributors in terms of subs and creators. C-Level said that. That's true, but I think that's also changing. And it's not only just for Mr. Beast, but like one of the biggest barriers you hit for any genre, anything you're streaming or making videos for is the language barrier. And if you can find a way to move past that, then it just like your audience booms so much, as long as it's done well. I mean, I'm not a Spanish speaker natively, right? So I don't know. You might be a Spanish speaker and watch this video and just cringe because it's really bad dub or something. But on paper, I think it makes a lot of sense. And especially, again, just good content. Like we talk about the Gref G. We don't speak Spanish, right? But like we can enjoy what the Gref G does just because of how big it was and like the kind of level he's setting with his content. And so I think that would probably carry over vice versa with Mr. Beast to non-English communities. But we'll have to see kind of how it rolls out eventually.
I think that's probably the perfect place to end it. We've covered so much news from so many different platforms today. And that's kind of an open-ended question, isn't it, about this second channel. We're just going to have to watch and see exactly what changes. But yeah, thanks so much for so many people watching today. I think we were over 200 concurrent viewers at times. So that was really great to see, and so many great questions. And I think Ben and I are probably getting a little bit better at reading chat as we go through and bringing in some opinions. So hopefully we can keep improving that. Yeah. Ben, are we both on for next week as well? Just to let the audience know.
I actually cannot do next week. I need to talk to you about that. Okay. Unless we move the day, maybe. We'll see.
Okay. Eventually. Well, potentially a stream next week at some point, but if not, then it'll be a couple of weeks time from now. But thanks so much for everybody watching, and unless there's anything else, Ben, we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
No, just keep the questions coming, guys. Again, like Pete said, we'll keep trying to look at chat during these a little more too. So, but if you're not here live, you can always ask on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok apparently, and anywhere else that you want to let us know your
you
questions.
You won't find streaming. Us both on TikTok yet, but maybe one day soon, maybe by the next stream. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for watching, guys. We'll catch you in the next one. Peace.
See ya.